Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special here tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7 on Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ, the teachings of Christ. It's a study through the Gospels and all that Jesus Christ taught while he was here. And there's several things that we've been looking at, of course, the teachings of Christ. When he went to the Sermon on the Mount and he gathered all of the disciples, his apostles with him, and there he sat down, and possibly the greatest of the teachings of the New Testament, it's a blueprint for New Testament Christianity there on the Sermon on the Mount. And he started with the right attitudes. What is a right attitude for a born-again believer to have? And of course, not only did he show us an example of having the right attitudes, but he taught the Beatitudes and how to break those down and apply those to our lives. What a blessing. And then to realize through it all that he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. There was a purpose that God had for the Old Testament, every story, every bit of the law. It was there to prepare us for the coming of the Messiah and for him to pay that sin debt that we could not pay. And the Old Testament law clearly reveals to us that we could never live by the Old Testament law. And so we find that he came and he fulfilled the Old Testament and he ushered in this New Testament Christianity, which is more of who God is. Living like Christ is exactly what God would have us to do. And so we've been studying that. And so the teachings of Christ here in the Sermon on the Mount, the idea that we looked at in chapter 6 there, was, or chapter 7, is not to judge according to man's judgment, according to our judgment, but we are to use judgment according to the Bible. We use the Bible as a guide for us to make decisions. Every decision in life, whether it be in relationships or whether it be in actions, it requires judgment. And so we find here that Jesus very clearly revealed that to us. Judging others is not our ministry. Amen. We are not looking to do that, but we are to use judgment. We have to do that. And we have the Word of God that helps us to know just how to respond to every situation in life. And then he tells us there in verse 7, or verse 6 rather, is what we studied the last week. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And we preached on be careful not to give to dogs and pigs. And we was able to break that down and help you to understand exactly what he was teaching there. And so tonight we're in chapter 7, looking at verse 7 down to verse 11. Verse 7 down to verse 11. This will be the next in chronological order of the teachings of Christ. And so if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Now, again, you're in a Baptist church, but I am Baptist because of the Bible. The Bible makes me Baptist, not the opposite. I'm going to follow the Word of God. And I want to make sure that I am always under the right doctrines. And I want to make sure as you're raising children, as you're caring for a home, you better make sure that you are being influenced by the right things. As we go through some of the trials and leading toward the end of New Testament church age as we know it, there's going to be trials. There's going to be a lot of different things that we're going to face as born-again believers. And we have to know why we believe what we believe. And we have to understand the doctrines of the Bible. And we can hold to the doctrines of the Bible because, as we preached on this morning, we have God. We are that people that have that God. And if you have that God, then you can live and run the race that God has for you to live and run. But we have to know that we have the Word of God. And we base things upon what the Bible says. And this tonight is very important because it has to do with our communication with God. And that's what he talks about. That's what he presents next. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his own son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, with an old sinful nature, you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Let's pray. Our Father, again, as we bow before you, we thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God that we have to look to and study it and understand it's what you've given to us to live by. So I pray once again tonight that you'd give each and every one of us ear to hear what you have for each one. Pray that you'd empower and bless the preaching of thy word once again this evening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So after a lesson on judging others and using judgment and not to give to dogs and pigs, as the Bible very clearly reveals that, that's what he had just taught concerning that. Then he turns their attention to the idea of asking and receiving. Asking and receiving. Ask and it shall be given. That's what he said. Verse 8 he says, for everyone that asketh, everyone that asketh, receiveth. Can I tell you that God's will for all of us concerning prayer is for every individual believer to first of all, whatever it is that you're dealing with in life, whatever questions you have, whatever kind of need, you're to look to God as a Heavenly Father and ask. To ask God should always be the first thing that we do. In James, in chapter 4, and verse 2, it says, ye have not because ye ask not. If you look here in the passage from 7, verse 7 to 11, he uses that word ask five different times. When we ask, we are acknowledging that we have a Heavenly Father. And as we ask, when we study the Bible, we know that we need to ask with confidence, knowing that we are being heard. Have you ever been talking to somebody that you thought was in the next room, only to find out they didn't hear a word because they weren't there? Makes you feel a little bit silly. Yeah. We need to ask with confidence, knowing that we are being heard. Over in the book of Mark in chapter 11, this is the foundation I want you to have, and you don't have to turn there, but let me read it to you. Mark in chapter 11 and verse 24, Jesus in teaching here, he says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, knowing that the disciples understood that they needed to ask, they needed to pray. But when you pray, believe. When you ask, if you will, believe that you receive them. And Jesus said, and ye shall have them. If you understand who God is and you understand His will for your life and you truly have peace about asking and knowing that He will hear you, can you also understand that you can have peace about knowing that you will receive an answer? In James in chapter 1, write this down if you want. Go back and study this later. But in the book of James in chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse 1 or verse 5 down to verse 8, James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, is there anybody here that has all the wisdom that you ever think you'll need? So he says, all of us, to all of you that lack wisdom, we can never have too much wisdom. It's something that we ought to be asking God for more than possibly anything else. We have to have wisdom to live life and to make right decisions and to do the right things. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. We know that. When's the last time you asked God for wisdom? It might be embarrassing to us. How important it is to have wisdom, and yet we don't ask God, the one who can give us wisdom. I believe it's because Satan realizes how important it is, and he'll try to blind us to that, and he'll try to lead us in different directions. Yeah. There's much opposition about from asking God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Ask and ye shall receive. But let him ask in faith. That's a key right there. Let him ask in faith, knowing that you're being heard. And knowing that what you're asking God is something that is something good that God can answer, that God can give you as a loving Heavenly Father. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, that one is wavering, is unstable in all his ways. Ask. God's will is for every believer to learn to ask God. It's a command, but it's like a privilege command. It's like telling a groom after just saying their vows and just being united and just being pronounced husband and wife, kiss the bride. Now, is it something they should do? Yeah. In a traditional wedding, and that's something that it's like telling a groom to kiss the bride. See, once you've experienced it, you'll want more. Yeah. Once you've experienced the blessings of asking and receiving, you'll wonder, why haven't I been doing this all along? And now that I understand how it works, I'm going to ask all the time. I'm going to pray for every need. I'm going to look to God for everything. And I say amen to that. Because that is God's will. Asking and receiving. If you go back with us to our text here, Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, he actually gives us three different thoughts concerning asking. He first of all says, ask, you shall be given you. And then he says, seek. And we're going to break that down in just a few minutes. But the answer to that is, and ye shall find. Seek. Well, how we need to include that in asking. If you seek hard enough, if you seek long enough, the Bible says you shall find. And knock. And it shall be opened unto you. Ask, seek, and knock. Asking moves God. Seeking moves us. Knocking moves others. God's purpose and plan for praying. For us to do this, as his design was for the disciples to learn this, for this New Testament church age, as they would learn to ask and they would learn to seek and they would learn to knock, they would learn to acknowledge faith in God. As we understand biblical faith in prayer, not only does it help us to acknowledge faith in God, but it also helps us understand the importance of what qualifies us. Because we are instructed to pray in Jesus' name. So now, not only are we acknowledging God by looking to an almighty creator God to ask, but we also understand that I have to realize my what gives me the petition that I'm looking for to be able to have answer to prayer is having God as my heavenly Father. In order for me to have God as my heavenly Father, I must be in Christ. I pray to God the Father, but it has to be through the Son and in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's the Godhead that we have been, that has been revealed to us for this New Testament church age. That's God's plan. In John chapter 14, Jesus in discipling his disciples, in John chapter 14 and verse 13, he says this, verse 13 and 14, and whatsoever ye shall, and there's that word again, ask in my name. It's important that we look to God as a heavenly Father, but it's also important that we know that we only have access to God the Father through God the Son. I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. That's in salvation, that is in simple prayer. That's in asking and receiving in prayer. And whatsoever ye ask, ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. What a powerful lesson for Jesus to be teaching his disciples. You see, prayer should never be the last resort, but always our first act. When you understand it, then that's the first thing that you can think of, is asking for God, asking for God's help in our lives. All believers ought to pray, and as we pray, God will hear and he will answer. And that's what Jesus is teaching them on the Sermon on the Mount concerning this idea of prayer. He will hear if we have the petition. Look over with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, it's very clear that the Spirit of God led John to write exactly what a person needs to do to be saved. And that is, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he's written these things that we may know that we have eternal life, and that we may believe on the name of the Son of God. But then after that, and sometimes we lose sight of this, but in verse 14 it says this, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence, there again, I love that, that I know that God hears my prayer, and I know that God is able to answer my prayer. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, when you're praying, do you know God hears you? Do you have confidence to know that when you are in your prayer closet or when you bow your head and acknowledge in a reverential way the God of the universe, do you know that God is hearing your prayer? We need to have that confidence. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We have an audience with God through our belief in and acceptance of his Son, Jesus Christ. A petition is a formal request that we have for God to hear us. And if he hear us, the Bible says, going back to our text here tonight in chapter 7 and verse 7, everyone that asketh, receiveth. As we understand that God will hear us, and as we understand that God will answer us, sometimes the answer is not what we want to hear. Sometimes the answer is no. But we have to understand that the answer is no. It's because God knows things that we don't know. Have you ever closed your ears to an answer you didn't want to hear? Yeah, all of us have. We see it in children more than anything else, even though we have the very same response. It's just more of a mature response as we get older. But children, when you say no, they'll get all emotional. They're, please, please, please. And they won't let it go. They don't want to take no for an answer. Please, would you reconsider? Please do this. Please do that. I'll do whatever you want. Dad, I'll do this and I'll do that. And if you just let me have what I want. But a loving father understands that there was a reason you said no. And you were thinking of the welfare of your child. And what could happen if you let them do what they wanted to do. We're aware of the consequences that they might not be aware of. If God's answer is no, we must accept it. There's been many times I've prayed for God to heal this person, and the prayer was earnest. And I believe that God, I knew God could do what I'm asking him to do. And in my own heart and mind, I thought this would be God's will. How could it not be God's will to raise this person up, to deliver them from this cancer, to deliver them from whatever the illness might be, only to in my own spirit, with God bearing witness with my spirit, when I prayed that prayer, I knew the answer was no. God was not going to lift that person up. God was not going to heal that person. Very difficult, and I don't always share that with those that I'm praying with and praying for, because that's something that God will reveal to you as an individual when you're praying to God for a particular answer, but you have to accept it. And once you accept it, then you pray and you continue to ask, but it's with the acceptance of this person is not going to be healed. When you know that God has answered that prayer, we can't keep on asking that prayer. We have to change how we pray, because God has already spoken to us. But that's asking. If we don't know the answer, I'm going to keep praying. I have prayed over the same individual several times with a desire and a belief that God was going to raise them up. And I've prayed for God's healing, and I've prayed for God's healing, and I've run back to their house and I've prayed for God's healing only to see God heal. And I was able to continue to pray because God did not reveal to me that it was not His will. And if I don't know God's will, if there is a little opening, I'm going to continue to pray. For the desires of my heart, the way that I want God to work, the way that I want God to answer, I'm going to continue to pray. And you know what? Sometimes when God does not give me a clear answer, it's because not only does He want me to ask, but He wants me to seek. Sometimes the seeking is prayer and fasting. We have our month of April is our prayer and fasting awareness month. And many times, certain things that we battle are only going to be defeated by prayer and fasting. This kind. And we deal with this kind. And we pray, and we don't overcome it, but we haven't got an answer or peace of God. It's because God's saying, I want you to add something to your prayer. I want you to pray and fast, because this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. You know what that is? That's seeking. Seek, and ye shall find. And he that seeketh, findeth. Isn't that what the Bible says? Isn't that what Jesus is teaching us? It's exactly how he was discipling the disciples for them to take over during the apostolic age, as we've been studying on Peter on Wednesday nights. And it's for us, for this New Testament church age. It's something that we have to learn to ask. And once we've asked, if God has not answered that already, if he's answered it, we have to accept it and we need to change our prayer. But if God has not answered that and you still have that hope that God will answer it this way, then as you ask, then you have to add something to that. You have to add this idea of seeking. And ye shall find. The old country preachers said, don't pray for a crop of corn without a hoe in your hand. I like that. Because we're praying for a crop of corn, but we're not using the hoe that it takes to plant the corn and to get rid of the weeds and to work on tilling the ground. Because I'm just asking and I'm not seeking. Seeking is to apply what God has already given to you to apply. God will never do anything for us that he has already given us the ability to do for ourselves. If God's given you ability to use something, to do something for yourself, then don't ask God to do it. Ask God to help you to apply the hoe to the crop. That's seeking. That's moving yourself. Moving yourself. Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, Jesus had given Peter a task. And he comes back and he finds Peter asleep. And he says in verse 41, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Did you see the difference there? Peter was not only supposed to be praying, but he was supposed to be watching. And he failed to watch. Thus he failed to seek. In Luke in chapter 18, let me read this to you. Luke in chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus teaching on prayer again. In Luke in chapter 18 and verse 1, he says this. "And he spake a parable unto them to this end." And this is the purpose of the parable. "That men ought always to pray." Men ought always, if you will, to ask and not to faint. Not to faint is seeking. It's motivating ourselves to ask and not quit. I'm praying and I'm asking God, but then I have to continue to do what God has given to me to do. I cannot faint in the midst of asking God to do something. I have to make sure that I continue to do everything that God would have me to do to see this answer to prayer. Yeah, that's asking. And that's seeking. Moving God by asking, moving yourself by seeking. Then he gives them one more. I love this. And then he says, knock. "But as we do that, and it shall be opened unto you." You'll find what you're looking for when you learn how to knock. "And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." I've got asking, moving God. I'm seeking, moving me. I'm knocking to motivate others. Sometimes what I'm asking for is going to require all three. Moving others to do the Lord's will. It's a blessing when I find people coming to me and asking for help to do this or help to do that. And I know that they've asked God and they are doing everything they can do, and somehow God led them to knock on my door so that I could help them accomplish whatever it is that they're asking for. Sometimes it's going to knock on your door. And God's going to have you there to be involved in answering a prayer of somebody who has been asking and has been seeking. And God's led them to you to knock on your door. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that good? That's how it works. That's what Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, that's exactly what he's teaching them concerning New Testament Christianity. As I pray for your health, I'm going to ask you to get involved in what you can do. And then possibly Go see a doctor. Go see what kind of medications available to us that God has made available to us to bring healing that we're asking God for. Asking God is not always and should never be looked at as looking for God to perform a miracle. We don't run to God just to perform miracles. Every time God is able to perform miracles, but what God has already done for us, He wants us to take advantage of. You just have to have the wisdom to know what to take, what to do, what door to knock on, who to get involved to help. So I might have the answers to my prayers. Yeah. Go back when we're going to close right here. After he taught on asking and seeking and knocking, then he helped them to see that he is the Heavenly Father who loves them. And he says, "And what man is there of you whom if your own son asks you bread, can you imagine giving him a stone?" I mean, I've come across some pretty low-life dads. But I don't know I've ever come across anybody that would give their son a rock to eat. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? And then the last thing he teaches them, if ye then, understanding this, being evil, you have a sin nature, something that God does not have. God, when he was manifest in the flesh and he walked on the face of the earth as Jesus Christ, the one thing that was different, he was the Son of God. He was not the Son of Man. If you're the Son of Man, you have a sin nature. As the Son of God, he did not have a sin nature. If ye then, being evil, a sin nature, know how to give good gifts unto your children, when they ask, if you can, you'll give them food if they ask for food. How much more? Now, I love that because how much more he designed the position of an earthly father and instilled within them to love that child. You have to have seared what God instilled within you to turn your back on your own child, to not try to meet the needs of your own children. And he says with that, as he designed that position, then he says, how much more shall your Father? Jesus, and he's your Father. He's in heaven. He's the creator of all things. But he wants you to view him as you ask and you communicate with him as a loving heavenly Father. Give good things. He'll answer every request that is going to be good for you. And he will deny every request. He will answer, but he will say no. He will deny every request. And his will is what is best for our lives. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that, and he brings us right back to the beginning, ask him. Are you asking? Are you asking as a child, dependent upon God as your heavenly Father? As you asking, are you asking as a saved individual, who has put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And are you looking to God in the name of your Savior, Jesus, to ask? If you're not, you're missing out on kissing the bride. And once you understand it's God's plan, asking and receiving, you won't be able to get enough of it. You'll be asking and asking and asking and doing exactly what God would have us to do. Because every time you ask, you acknowledge your belief in God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. It's God's design for New Testament Christianity. It's something that God has made available to every born-again believer. You have the petition that you need to be able to ask, call upon Almighty God. If you don't have that petition, you can receive that. It's called salvation. Putting your faith and trust in Christ. If you haven't done that, you can do that tonight. Father, we bow before you now. Thank you for the truth of the teachings of our Lord and how this impacts our lives. And I trust that we would never lose sight of this idea of asking as you would have us to ask. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.